Thanks for listening to Exploring the Wine Glass podcast, the podcast for people who love wine. I'm Lori Budd, a UC Davis winemaking program and WSET Level 2 graduate. You can find Exploring the Wine Glass on all the socials as well as your favorite podcast catchers. If you haven't subscribed yet, now is the perfect time. I promise I'll never tell you what to drink, but I'll always share what's in my glass. Hey everyone, I hope this podcast finds you and your loved ones safe and healthy. In today's world, with tasting rooms closed, but hopefully starting to open this week, people are still looking to wine to comfort them and to pass the hours by. Many wineries have gone to virtual tastings. Dracaena Wines, as you may know, does not have a tasting room, but these times have greatly affected us also. Normally, the weekends of these months would be spent at different winery events introducing our wines to new customers. Without these events, it is extremely difficult to reach new customers, so we, too, have turned to virtual tastings. In today's episode, listen in to some of what we discussed during a live tasting. Keep in mind that it is only a sample of what we discussed during a virtual tasting. The idea is to wet your whistle, not give you the whole enchilada. So there will be segues into different portions of the event. If this does pique your interest and you would like to schedule your own virtual event with Dracaena Wines, please reach out in an email at contact@dracaenawines.com or use the Contact Us form on the website. That's dracaenawines.com. We appreciate your support, and we are confident that you will enjoy the event, but we know you will love the wine. Before we get into the tasting, I would like to share with you another 5-star review titled, More Wine. Such a great podcast to learn about wine. Fun, interesting, and now I know my wines. If you want to learn about wine, this is the podcast for you. Thank you, V-Ball Kit, for taking the time to rate and review. So happy birthday, Elise!
Happy birthday! You guys have a cute setup.
Thank you.
This was a lot of Sean.
Okay.
Lori, this is Sean, my fiancé.
Hi.
Nice to finally meet you, Sean.
Nice to finally meet you. We also have chocolate and cheese.
Okay.
So if you guys know what pairs well with what, let us know.
What cheese do you have?
We have Monterey Jack, Swiss, and raw white cheddar.
So the cheddar would probably go well. The chocolate, it depends on what type of chocolate it is.
It's just an assortment. There's like a whole bunch of like milk chocolate and like filled centers and things like that. It's more like See's Candy.
So if anything has like raspberry in it, if it's got the little menu that's got a raspberry, that will probably go phenomenal with the Reserve.
I'm guessing it's the swirl ones.
Yeah.
They always put swirl ones.
That's true.
I don't know.
All right. It is officially begun.
Yeah, people are like joining right now.
Yeah. It's like this whole line. You're just trying to hit accept as fast as you can.
Happy birthday, Elise.
Thanks, Magali.
I've been looking forward to this all week.
So have I. I had such a crappy day yesterday. I had to keep myself from opening the wine a day early.
I did open mine early. I did not wait. But I kept them so we could talk about it.
Yay.
Who's the dog on the wine?
Oh, that's Draco. I'll talk about that so you all can like.
He's very handsome.
Oh, thank you.
Hi, Julie.
Hi.
Thank you.
Hi, Janine. Well, I was working up until about 8 seconds ago, and my younger daughter was like, hey, Mom, do you want me to set up everything for you? So I came outside, and here is...
went to college with her.
All right!
That's so cute! Wow. The bottles are open, a different glass next to each one. I've got, like, all the sheets.
Wow, that's like pro right there.
That was very nice.
She knows.
Very nice.
Janine and I are kindred spirits because we did kind of the same thing here too. We've got everything.
Kind of nice. Nice. You didn't have your small child do that for you in a program like I did.
She is sitting there. She wanted to learn early. Actually, my beautiful husband did all that for us. So.
Oh, thank you, Harold. You're the best.
Yeah. Hey, Lori, I haven't opened up any of my wine, so which wine are we starting with?
You can open them all if you would like. We're going to go with the 2016 Reserve, then the 2017 Reserve, and then the Classic, which is the
Classic is what I drank most of already.
Which one did you say we were starting with?
We're going to start with the 2016 Reserve.
Lori, is this your Weimaraner?
Yeah. Oh, is that somebody? I mean, that's somebody. Yeah, so I'll talk about him in a sec.
Okay. My daughter was like, oh, I love that dog.
Yes, that is Draco. Well, I put it in the Facebook. They can join. I put it on that post. So they could join. They just won't have the wine, but they can join.
Changing my background one more time.
I liked the casino. I was ready to throw down.
Yeah. No, my husband can like set the mood. He's like, why is Magali in a casino?
There we go.
There you go. Oh, that's good.
First of all, thank you everybody for purchasing the wine and for being so interested in doing a virtual tasting. I really didn't think, you know, I've seen other wineries doing it and I was like, oh, we're so small. Nobody's really going to be interested. But we have been getting interest from other people and everything. So a little bit about, I wanted to start off with talking about Paso Robles. So usually when I say Paso Robles, everybody is like, well, where's that? You know, and it's on the Central Coast. And yet you say on the Central Coast, not in the Central Coast. Not really sure why, but that's what you do. And it really is, it's Paso Robles means the passing of the oaks. So we have beautiful, beautiful oaks that are there. And that is where the town name comes from. And it's really some pretty cool history about it. So it really started in like 1857, where a Mexican grant by James and Daniel Blackburn came in. In there, there's a beautiful bar in the back, and there's actual bullet holes in the bar, and they are said to be bullet holes that are from Jesse James. So that's a little bit about Paso. We focus in around the downtown, which has a beautiful park. And on Thursday evenings, Thursday evenings, there's music in the park all summer long. And we settled on Paso, and I shouldn't say settled, but we found Paso because we knew we wanted to retire to California. And that was like 15 years ago. And there were probably about 150 wineries back then. And now we're over 300 or just about at 300. So it has really bloomed, blossomed there. And the majority of them are little, small family run wineries. You know, you do have the Justins, which in the world of wine is still considered a medium sized winery. But the majority of them are like us, where it's, you know, the husband and the wife or a family or whatever. Even Janelle Ducey, whose family really was one of the people who started Paso Robles, her great-grandparents literally were the first people to plant Zinfandel in Paso. Her winery is her. You know, she has people who work for her, but she's always there. And the other real major player in Paso Robles in terms of its history and how it's developed is Gary Eberle. Now, as for us, we started, our first vintage was in 2013, and we started with what we now call the classic. So we're going to taste this wine last, and I'll say why in a minute. But this is what we call our classic. So in 2013, we started this with just one wine, Cabernet Franc. And the reason why we chose Cabernet Franc was because... So that's how we came up with Cab Franc. And then Jersey girl in me was so sarcastic that there's a wine holiday for everything under the sun, but there wasn't a wine holiday for Cab Franc Day. So I decided when we released in 2015, because the vintage is 2013, but it stays in barrel and all that for 2 years. So when we released in 2015, I decided to start Cab Franc Day. And I don't know how it happened, but it trended second on Twitter behind Chocolate Chip Cookie Day. And ever since then, it's been a recognized holiday. It is now internationally recognized. So many countries are recognizing it. And 2 years ago, we were guests of, 2 years ago, we were the guests of Hungary, of Villene Hungary, who focuses in on Cabernet Franc, and they flew us to Hungary to talk about Cab Franc Day. And that is December 4th. And I chose December 4th because I hate holidays that rotate, like it's the third Thursday or this or that, because I think people forget it. So I wanted a historical reason. I wanted a set day. And December 4th is the anniversary of the death of Cardinal Richelieu, who is the person who literally carried Cabernet Franc on his back into the Loire Valley and planted it. So that's where it comes from. So on our label, this guy here is Draco, okay? And as I said earlier, before everybody came in, our friend Sonia drew this, and she's so incredible. She actually never met Draco. What I did was old school. I took film pictures, a roll of film of Draco at all different angles. And then I sent her the pictures and she drew that. And she put them in a vineyard and we have it hanging in the house. And then when we decided to do the winery, we knew we had lost Draco when he was 14. So we knew that we wanted the winery to be him, because he was with us when we were thinking of this whole thing and all of this. So he was obviously going to be the label, but then we needed a name. So that is where the name comes from. In hindsight, nobody can ever pronounce Dracaena, so it might not have been the best name on the face of the earth. But we do go by, you're the dog wine. We get that a lot, and we're more than happy to accept that. And in Game of Thrones, especially in the final season of Game of Thrones, we became the Dracaris wine. And you can call me anything you want, I didn't mind Dracaris. Some of you are drinking, but we need to drink. So, woohoo! The first wine we're going to drink is, we're going to taste, is the 2016 Reserve. So, what makes it a Reserve be in comparison to the Classic is the Reserve is a single clone and single vineyard designated wine. So if you look at the label, it says Plummer Vineyard. So all of the fruit comes from a single vineyard for this wine, and it is also a single clone. So there's clones, it's all Cab Franc, but there's clone one, there's clone 312, there's clone this, there's clone four, all of these different clones. This is very specific. And we chose it because of where the location is and the characteristics that it brings. So of the wines that we make, the Classic can, from vintage to vintage, can stay somewhat similar because we can blend different things in there to make it be more consistent. Where this is a single clone, this is Mother Nature in a bottle. There's not much we do with this. So vintage to vintage, whether it's a lot of water, you know, if it rained, if it didn't rain, are we back in a drought? You know, did we have heat spikes or was it consistently hot? All of that stuff is going to, change. So vintage to vintage, this is going to vary. So I don't know how many people like drink wine regularly. I have like notes to teach you how to taste. Do we care about that or no? We just want to drink. Yes, you want to learn how to taste? Okay. All right.
So, can I also ask kind of a silly question? Because
there are no silly questions.
I like to drink wine, but I don't really know what I'm doing when I'm doing it. What is the difference between a Cabernet Franc and a Cabernet like
Sauvignon?
I don't know how to pronounce it, but
that's not a silly question. It's not. So Cabernet Franc is actually one of the parents of Cabernet Sauvignon. So Cabernet Franc, as I like to say, you know, had a hot and heavy night with Sauvignon Blanc. Sauvignon Blanc, Cabernet Franc got together and they created Cabernet Sauvignon. So Cabernet Franc is also the parent, he got around a lot. He also is the parent of Carmenere and he is also the parent of Merlot. So all of those grapes are kind of, or all those wines are going to kind of have similar basic background kind of thing, but the tannin levels, the fruit levels, all of that is a little bit different. So Cabernet Franc, how I like to explain it, is it's got the body of a Cabernet Sauvignon. It's a pretty big wine, but the tannin structure you get the tannins from the skins and the seeds, okay, and the stems. So the tannin in a Cabernet Sauvignon, and I'm not saying you can't do it, but not too many people are going to sit out back with a big Napa Cab on the patio and, you know, plug back the cab, right? Because
accepted.
What?
Challenge accepted.
Because generally what happens with these big cabs is that your tongue, right? It feels like you start to get that sandpaper tongue. That's tannin, okay? So Cabernet Sauvignon has a whole bunch of tannin in it. Cabernet Franc has tannin, so it's got structure to it, but it's a lot tame. It's a lot more tame. So you're not going to get that. So Cabernet Franc is a lot more food friendly. You know, you Cab Sauv, like you're drinking that with a big old meal, right? Cab Franc can go from cheese to cheese and crackers to, you know, to that big steak that you're gonna have with the Cab Sauv. So I like to explain it as it's got the body of a Cab Sauv, but the finesse, that finish of a Merlot, right? So Merlot is a lot softer on the palate. It's not so drying. So that's the difference. So that was an excellent question. Not a bad question, not a silly question. So this wine, so when you taste wine, if you really want to taste wine, you have to take the time to really like analyze it, which takes away from some of the fun in my, you know, I mean, you really kind of just want to enjoy the wine. And as I say, there's, you know, I'll never tell you that's a good wine or a bad wine. If you like it, I don't care if it's a $2.99 bottle of wine, you know, honestly, more power to you if you can enjoy a $2.99 bottle of wine, because you're going to drink a lot more of that than, you know, than if you're constantly buying a $100 bottle of wine, right? And if you're enjoying it, good for you. But when you go to taste, there is a tasting profile or a panel, I guess, and it's a series of questions that you go through. So the first thing you want to do when you go to taste is you want to look at the color, right? So it's using your eyes, using your nose, and using your palate, which actually is your nose. But you're going to look at the color. And then the first thing you want to do is just the second part is smelling it, okay? So we swirl it to get some oxygen in there. And when you oxygenate a wine, micro-oxygenate a wine, it's going to release the aromas. So it kind of wakes the wine up from being in the bottle. And then you're going to see if it's light aromas, medium aromas, or pronounced aromas. So after you swirl it, you're going to just bring it up to your nose. And as you're smelling, if you can smell it before it reaches your nose, it's pronounced. If you got to shove your nose in there and you still can't smell anything, it's light. And then obviously in between there, it's medium. Now this is all up to you. What I think is pronounced might not be pronounced to you, okay? Because we all smell things differently. And then the fun part, drink. Now, once again, you want to get a little bit of oxygen there. So that's why you're going to see the people, you know, do that type of thing. Swirl it all around your mouth, okay? And then things you're looking for are sweetness. Is it dry or is it sweet? Okay, if it's dry, you're going to get that tannin type thing, okay? Some people have a difficulty saying it's sweet because it's got a lot of fruit in it. If it's got ripe fruit, people are going to say, oh, it's sweet. The little trick to know whether the wine is really sweet or not, if you think the wine is sweet, take another sip, hold your nose while you take the sip. And if it still tastes sweet, it's a sweet wine. If it doesn't taste sweet, it's the fruit that you're tasting.
Can I ask a question, Lori?
Yes.
How long did this barrel age? Because I couldn't find it in the notes.
Oh, it was, so it's like 18 months, 17 18 months.
Okay, thank you.
Yep. Okay, so this is a dry wine. It's fermented to dryness. And what that means is that the yeast go in and they eat up all of the sugar. So this wine was harvested at 26 Brix. And that means the amount of sugar that's in the grape. And then you can kind of figure out the amount of alcohol by pretty much cutting that in half. That's what I get. Does not mean if you're not getting that you're wrong. It's everybody's palate is completely different. So, and everybody senses something differently. So that's our 2016. That vintage, we were expecting to be out of a drought. We were expecting to get a lot of rain, but we didn't. So it kind of was like in the middle of a drought. And that matters because that's what the intensity of the fruit, okay? If the vines are stressed without the water, those berries are going to be smaller. So that flavor is going to be more intense. Okay, so that's the 2016. Next up, we're going to do the 2017 reserve. So again, it's the same exact fruit. We don't own the vineyard. The vineyard is owned by Joe Plummer, but he farms it to our specifications and we get to harvest when we want to harvest. We regulate what's going on. And the kind of cool thing about this vineyard is he was a chemical engineer before going into farming, and he's like science oriented also. So these vines are not north, south, or east, west. He's actually 8 degrees off from what is a typical planting. And the reason why he did that is to minimize the amount of sun exposure that the vines get. And to us, that was so important because if anybody's ever, has anybody ever tasted a Loire Valley Cab Franc? No? Okay. So the Loire Valley Cab Francs, Old World Cab Francs, when you bring that up to your nose, the first thing you're going to get is bell pepper, green bell pepper. Okay. And we don't like that in a Cab Franc. And so sun plays a major role in that bell pepper. So the fact that these vines are just a bit off, 8 degrees off, makes a huge difference of how that sun comes over the vineyard during the day. And it allows us to regulate the amount of bell pepper that is in there. So the 2017, this one, we got lots of water on this, on during this vintage. So we were out of the, drought, but what was really important in this vintage is that in August, we had 7 straight days of 110 plus during the day. So 110 degrees for 7 straight days. That puts the vines shutting them down. So that changes how it's going to develop. The watering, we are able, and we do add the water, but irrigate, but 7 straight days of 112 is going to have a huge impact on the wine. So you go through the same process here. Now, if it's in a different glass, if you smell the 16 and then smell the 17, 2 completely different profiles.
Yeah.
Right? The smokiness of this one jumped out.
Exactly. Yep. Exactly.
There's a lot more like spice in it too, in the smell.
Yep. Exactly.
A lot more, like, sweet in the taste too.
Yes. People call this one off dry. It's technically dry, but we do have people who say, oh, this is off dry. But again, pinch your nose and taste it again and see if you still think it's sweet. The thing is that the fruit in this one is so much more jammy because of that heat. So as the heat goes up, right, the fruit is going to get jammier. Okay.
And yeah, it's definitely the strawberry.
Right. Yep. Yep. Okay. So it is a completely different profile. And that's just 1 year apart. But consistent weather in a drought versus out of a drought, but a long period of time of high temperatures. Now, the thing that's so special about Paso is what is called a diurnal temperature, okay, or a diurnal shift.
What is a brick of sugar, and like how is that measured?
Yeah, it's analytical, but you can look through a refractometer and it gives you the level. It is literally, it is the amount of sugar that's in the grape when you harvest. So that's what the yeast are going to feed on when they're going through fermentation. So if you tasted a grape on the vine early on, it's really, really bitter because all it is seed. And there's no real sugar inside. That pulp, that juicy, fleshy stuff inside is really, really small. As it develops, as it matures on the vine, right, the grape gets bigger, okay? And then that fleshiness is in there. And then as the vine matures, the sugar levels increase. Okay, so part of harvest is knowing at what point you want to pick those grapes. Any other questions?
Elise had a question on the chat, so I'll just read it. She asked, how long does the bottle last once you've uncorked it?
Oh.
Meaning you don't drink it all in one sitting?
What is that?
And I'll follow up with my question.
Yep.
If I'm a casual wine drinker, which I am really, like, I don't really know what I'm reading when I look at the bottle, how would I know what I'm getting at the store when I'm looking at 2016 Franc Reserve and the 2017. Like, you just kind of have to assume knowledge of the area, or?
Well, there's a beautiful thing called Vivino, which is an app which you can, or a seller tracker, where you can just hold up to any label, and it will give you what other people have thought about the wine. So that's one way to do it. But yeah, I mean, you tend to have to know whether you like Cabernet Franc or don't like Cabernet Franc, or, you know, go in and wing it and say, ooh, I like this, you know. But yeah, I would say the Vivino app or the Cellar Tracker app is like, I mean, I use it. I'll go in and I'll find a wine that I'm looking at and I'll Vivino it and see what the tasting notes are of other people. And then you can look at, you know, there's Wine Enthusiast, Wine Spectator. The problem with that is you have to find the person who your palate is aligned with. In terms of how long does a wine last if you have uncorked it, this is going to evolve. And at overnight, you can take the cork and you can just put it back in. I would say you're going to want to drink it within the next 3 days if you're just keeping it on your counter. If you put it in the refrigerator, you know, I know people drink red wine cold, and if that's what you like, that's good. But that's going to make this so bitter, because those tannins are going to come out big time. A red wine that's cold becomes more bitter, that you're going to taste those tannins even more. So if you want to keep it in the refrigerator, you might extend it a couple of days, but you're going to have to take it out of the refrigerator, pour your glass, and let it sit out to the side for a little bit, let it come down to room temperature before you drink it. But the more oxygen that gets in there, it's going to evolve. And if you leave these wines open, if you go back like 3 hours from now, take a glass 3 hours from now, it's going to taste different than what it tastes right now, depending on when you opened it. I mean, if you literally just uncorked right before we started, it's still. Any other, did I miss any other questions?
Not a question, but I wanted to steal everyone's moment of time for a second and wish Elise Sharp a happy birthday, because it is her 30th birthday today.
Happy birthday.
That was so cute.
Not exactly how you envisioned spending the big 3-0, huh?
No, okay. But this is pretty fun.
All right, so the last wine we're going to taste is our 2017 Classic. And the reason why we're tasting this last is because the two reserves are 100% Cabernet Franc. And this is 95% Cabernet Franc and 5% Petit Sirah. And Petit Sirah is a pretty big tannin wine. So this is going to be a bigger wine. Even though it's the same vintage as the second reserve we tasted, it's going to be a bigger wine. And because we use more French oak, new French oak in the reserves than we do in our classic, the tannins in the reserve are more kind of tamed down, more delicate, more what they call silky. This is a big wine, okay? So this is 95% Cab Franc, 5% Petit Sirah. This is also only 14.4% alcohol. And this was 40% new French oak versus 50% new French oak. As you bring it up, it is completely different than the reserve.
Very aromatic.
Yes.
This would I smell pretty good.
Now, you said that it was 5% Petit Sirah, but that's not on the label. So at what point do you have to kind of start saying that it's a blend?
You guys have questions. Awesome questions.
Love it.
So The TTB determines 75% as a varietal wine. So as long as it's 75% of a specific grape variety, you can claim it as that varietal. So since this is only 5%, we can call it Cabernet Franc. We could technically put, so our 2013, the very first wine we made, had 15% Cabernet, 15% Petit Sirah in it. It was a strange vintage for Paso, the Cab Franc didn't really have a big body to it, so we pumped in 15% of Petit Sirah to build up the character of the Cab Franc. That 2013 was actually on a whole different vineyard site and a whole different side. So Paso Robles is divided into east and west. And all of this fruit comes from the east side of Paso, but that 2013 came from the west side. So it was a different vineyard. We took it because we were getting into the game and that's the fruit we can get. So we had to modify that a lot to get where we wanted it. We did okay. We got a 91 in Wine Enthusiast, so it was all right. This wine that you're drinking right now got a 92 in Wine Enthusiast. And the 2017, both of those reserves got double gold in the San Francisco Chronicle. So, we're doing something right. But this is a whole different ball game here. And this wine, the classic, I don't want to say it will always be a blend because it may be 100%. Last year it was 100% Cabernet Franc. But this one we will do a little bit more blending with and more hands-on on the classic, where the reserve is what Mother Nature gives you is what Mother Nature gives you.
I couldn't taste the chocolate in the last one. You said you mentioned there might be a little bit of chocolate, and in this one I could taste it.
Yes.
I didn't even smell it. That was the first thing that hit me when I smelled this one.
Mm. Yes, it does have a lot of chocolate in it.
And this was tasting kind of floral to me. When I was smelling it, it was really floral to me. Like the first thing I was like, oh, that's really floral. The 217 is definitely jammy. And especially when you smell this one, it's like, oh, this one was really floral. I'm not getting the chocolate, but definitely that clove to it. These are all so delicious. They're really yummy.
Thank you.
I'm
getting no smells.
He drank on here. Those things insane.
We like seeing that. We like seeing empty glasses.
Yeah, they are really yummy. And I've never had a Cab Franc before, not in a single varietal like that. They are really yummy. Yeah, and I really am enjoying the 2016.
Oh, thank you.
That's a really good one. Yeah, these are delicious.
Thank you. I have to say, I've never had a Cab Franc either, and it's maybe now my favorite.
Oh, I love hearing that.
It's pretty great.
What Lori mentioned, I don't know if you guys were all in the chat, but having these Cab Francs, especially with like a raw cheddar, is awesome. So delicious. It is such a great.
So that was the pairing.
Yeah, it's.
Lori, these are amazing.
It's on point.
Thank you.
So if we're ever in your neck of the woods, well, if we're ever in Paso Robles, can we do, like, do you have a taste room there?
So we do not have a tasting room, but you can, on our website, which is jalecinowines.com, there is a book a tasting. And then you will meet either Mike or myself, and always Vegas. And we'll...
Booking for Vegas.
We will pour for you. We think our wines speak for themselves, and we don't want people to have to pay to taste it. We do, if the pandemic wasn't happening, we would have been down in LA area every weekend for the last month doing events. But you always, we're always open 24/7 because everything is purchased online. Up in this area, we're in restaurants. In Paso, we're in restaurants. And in New Jersey, we're in restaurants. basically where I can get to hand sell our wine.
But you need to come to Idaho and I will show you around.
Okay.
So we can get it in Boise.
All right. We will, I'll have Mike look at what the legal thing is for Idaho. That's the big thing, is like the laws are different in every single state. So to ship here or to distribute in there, like some states you have to like, you know, sign your name in blood to distribute into there.
Probably Idaho. Yes. Sorry.
You know, but Mike can look into Idaho and then that'll give me a reason to come visit you.
And then we can have Sonia come.
Yes.
We have a lot of local wineries, but we can always use extra. You can come visit me.
And yes. We'll
set it up here.
So I'm not going to lie. One of my favorite wineries is Gruet.
So, oh, well, there you go. You can go tasting champagne and then some wine.
they own a lot of my money. They own a lot of my money. And if anybody likes sparkling, that's what you buy. And that's distributed everywhere. So you can buy it in like pretty much any liquor store. It's Gruet. And it is incredible. It is incredible.
Or you could come visit me and I'll take you to the tasting room.
Yes. We do have a wine club. And the thing is that Mike and I actually kind of hate wine clubs because like we belong to a wine club that we have to purchase a case a year. And we love that wine. It is Cayuse. It is a cult wine. But we have to buy a case of it a year. And no matter how much we drink Cayuse, there's more Cayuse coming, right? And that's what we hate about wine clubs, is that even if you love a wine, there's only so much of it that you want to drink. You want to explore other wines. So our chalk club is simply 3 bottles twice a year. And it's called the Chalk Club because Vegas over here is a rescue dog. And Draco got the label, so Vegas gets the wine club. And if you're a gambler, like in Vegas, chalk means that you're betting on all the favorites. So we're hoping or we're betting that once you taste our wines, we become one of your favorites. And everything is gambling oriented. So you start off, you get a progressive discount. So in your first year, you get 15% off, then 20% off, 25% off, 30% off for each year that you're with us. Your second shipment is on us. Like, well, you pay for the wine, but we pay for the shipping. and it's only $15 to ship your wine. And because we're so small, we allow you to manipulate your club no matter what, you know? So like somebody this year he's in the red club, but he wanted rosé instead. So we just switched that around. So it's no fee to join. But if you are interested, all of that stuff is right there. And, you know, we would appreciate it. But, you know, it's up to, you know, no pressure. All is good. But do we have any other questions or any other comments? Or I'm really bad at following the chat.
Oh, you're fine. Lori, I literally looked it up on Google Maps. If we ended up wanting to do a pile everybody from Southern California to come up to you, it's only 3.5 hours. You were right. You did what you needed to do for you and Mike.
I go to Paso at least once a year and cannot recommend that area enough. It's incredible.
It's a beautiful area. It's
stunning.
We love it. We absolutely love it. And the people are so friendly.
Plus you could see wild zebras on the side of the freeway. So
this has been another episode of Exploring the Wine Glass. Thanks for listening. If you have suggestions on what topics you would like me to discuss, please reach out on social media. You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook as Exploring the Wine Glass. I'm also on LinkedIn as Lori Hoyt Budd. Of course, you can always email me at exploringthewineglass@gmail.com. If you enjoyed our podcast, please rate, review, and subscribe on your favorite podcast catcher to help others find me more easily. Until next week, slancha.